Today is Easter and Resurrection Sunday, and the readings are from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43, and Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Today's message is titled, Looking for Jesus, Who Was Crucified. Hear the lesson from the book of Acts chapter 10. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Here ends the lesson. The gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, beginning at the first verse. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please come and calm our hearts during these uncertain times. Grant us confidence in your compassion and your unfailing love you demonstrated at the cross, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So now hear our worship and praise, O Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to begin with a theologian, Charlie Daniels. Yes, the theologian Charlie Daniels, who this week wrote this. "The fact is, folks, we need Easter. We have never needed it more because Easter represents a new beginning, a new assurance that no matter what, we never have to face a world gone mad alone. And things are not hopeless at all." Another theologian speaking this week too, Queen Elizabeth II. And she shared these words in what is most likely her first ever Easter message during her 68-year reign, a portion of it. This year, Easter will be different for many of us, but by keeping apart, we keep others safe. But Easter isn't canceled. Indeed, we need Easter as much as ever. The discovery of the risen Christ on the first Easter day gave his followers new hope and fresh purpose. And we can all take heart from this. We know that, we know that the coronavirus will not overcome us. As dark as death can be, particularly for those who are suffering with grief, light and life are greater. May the living flame of Easter hope be a steady guide as we face the future. Do those words echo inside of you? Does this day not feel exactly right? Does it feel a little strange to you? This day feels strange to me. Actually, this whole week has had an emptiness for me. To tell you the truth, missing Maundy Thursday worship when we hear the scripture of the events of that upper room on that night Jesus was betrayed. Not breaking the bread and passing the cup that night left an emptiness in me. Did it leave an emptiness in you? Not experience that solemnity of the procession as the chancel area and the altar is stripped in the dimmed lights at the conclusion of worship. With that moment of the crown of thorns processed forward and placed on the altar and then departing in silence. Not gathering in the candlelight of Good Friday, recalling the wonder of Christ silently going to his death for us. Not hearing those words of forgiveness Jesus spoke. Not hearing those words that the work is finished. The redeeming price paid in full, with worship concluding with that moment symbolized by the Christ candle exiting the worship space and all heading home in silence and solemnity again. For me, it doesn't seem like Easter morning. Without Maundy Thursday or Good Friday worship, I just don't seem to be prepared as I am usually in heart or prepared in soul for celebration. You know, missing this morning for me was the fragrance of the Easter lilies that have greeted me in the past years on Sunday morning. No early worship service, no aroma of Easter breakfast wafting through the building and around us, no laughter of children filling up with excitement as they get ready and raring to go searching for Easter eggs filled with candy. And now, one of the saddest parts is there's no chocolate for me to snitch from my kids' Easter stash. Oh well, I'll have to find chocolate some other way. Are you feeling the same? Are you feeling these same feelings of missing something, an emptiness, a hollowness? Are you having a challenge in rising to the occasion of worshiping with great wonder this moment? The worship that this day is due? Is life tugging at you in so many directions with thoughts weighing you down as to when life may gain some semblance of normal? Where does the empty tomb fit in this? Where does the reality of Christ is risen impact our hearts and souls in such a situation as we are living in these days of uncertainty? As the Queen said, Easter is not canceled. As Charlie said, we need Easter. We have never needed it more. In feelings such as I feel and perhaps you feel, perhaps we're being too self-focused, self-centered. What emotions, I ask you, what emotions and what situations are we experiencing that have not befallen humanity before? And what can compare to the despair of the disciples as Jesus is dragged away by the armed guards and crowds at the sign of a kiss of Judas Iscariot? Or following along into the courtyard of the priests and then denying Jesus three times as bitterness deeply cut Peter as he wept for what he did in denying. Then, the walk down that road that tradition calls the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, the way that is full of grief, following Jesus, the condemned man, to die. The innocent man, yet brutally beaten, hardly recognizable as a man, and greatly weakened from scourging, weakened that another man had to be grabbed from the crowd to carry the cross to carry out the cruelty of the crucifixion. Talk about uncertainty and despair. Put yourself in the place of the disciples in those days, and then add in the fear of being dragged off yourself. Lock the doors, hide inside, stay at home. Is God indifferent to us? Was God ignoring them? Or is God working a wonder, even now, as he was bringing glory to his name then? On that Friday years ago, events seemed ever so far from good as Jesus in agony exhaled in his last breath, and he died. Matthew chapter 27, verses 55 and 56 tell us this. Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Jesus had died. Joseph of Arimathea, along with Nicodemus, take possessions of Jesus' body, and they take it down from the cross. They wrap it in clean linen cloth and anoint the body with the spices and perfumes. Then a huge stone was rolled to close the tomb. Watching this were Mary Magdalene and others. Matthew chapter 27, verse 61. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. In other words, they were watching all that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were doing, and seeing the tomb closed. As the sun set, bringing the day to the close, the women had to rush to the upper room as the Passover Sabbath was about to begin. Speaking of uncertainty and confusion, the disciples certainly had that in their lives in those days. Just a week earlier, a celebration and shouts of hosannas, and how quickly those same crowds turned and came to cry, "Crucify him." 3 years of walking with Jesus, seeing signs and wonders and such love expressed in great compassion for the crowds. Those crowds cried, "Crucify," and they did crucify. Now sitting during the Passover Sabbath, the disciples didn't know what tomorrow may bring. Are we much different this day? What will tomorrow bring? It was the women who early in the morning went to the tomb. That is what the scripture tells us. The women went to the tomb. They desired to properly care for Jesus' dead body. The other disciples may have been beside themselves, not knowing what to do. Which way to turn? How quickly they had forgotten Jesus' words, saying he would rise on the third day. Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Scripture later tells us in the Gospel of Matthew that just after Peter declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus begins to explain to his disciples about the coming suffering and death and rising. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. The chief priests and Pharisees seem to have had paid better attention to Jesus. For the scripture tells us that they went to Pilate to have the tomb secured. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 63 and 64. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he had been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." The tomb was secured with a seal. Guards were posted. "This Jesus is dead and gone, and that will be the end of all this nonsense," they thought. But God was not done. Death is not the victor. Nay, the living God is Lord and is life. Death cannot keep its hold on the Christ. An angel of the Lord comes and rolls the stone away. The guards and their silly seal have no power here. The guards were filled with fear, shook, and became like dead men. To the woman who came to the tomb, words of comfort were spoken. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 5 and 6. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Did you hear how Jesus was identified? You are looking for Jesus who was crucified. This designation is important. This designation, who was crucified, sets Jesus apart. About 100 years earlier in the history of the Roman Empire, a huge rebellion had taken place. This rebellion was led by a slave named Spartacus. You may remember the history of that. The rebellion of Spartacus was brought to an end when 6,000 slaves or so were crucified along the Appian Way. The classic 1960 movie Spartacus, starring Kirk Douglas as Spartacus, comes to its close depicting these collective crucifixions. Along the road, as far as the eye can see, cross after cross after cross crucifying a man. Thousands upon thousands. Through the years, Rome likely crucified tens of thousands. On the hillside with Jesus, two others were crucified. And these were not the first nor the last crucifixions outside of Jerusalem. Why is it, though, the angel said, "Jesus, who was crucified?" And the answer is simply and straightforward. His tomb is empty. He rose from the dead. No other has been crucified and risen. Of the thousands upon thousands crucified by Rome, none has risen. But one, Jesus, who is the Christ, risen from the dead. This sets Jesus apart. Peter, preaching on Pentecost, points out this reality. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. "God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact." Acts chapter 2, verse 36. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Later on, Peter and John before the Sanhedrin testifying, as Scriptures tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 10. "Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands healed before you." Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul writes, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Peter, in Cornelius' house, Acts chapter 10, he teaches all the people in that household, saying, "We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Peter makes this very clear to Cornelius. Jesus was very much alive after being crucified. Not a spiritual apparition, no, not a ghost. Jesus, risen from the dead, was flesh and bone, flesh and blood. All that makes a person physically human, alive. And the proof is the disciples ate and drank with Jesus. And Jesus ate and drank with them. Of these events, Peter was an eyewitness, a participant too. Peter continues before Cornelius. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Forgiveness of sins. That's what it's about. Total forgiveness of all that's separated from God, the God who gives life. With the forgiveness of sins comes the gift of life, eternal life in Christ. And this is only through Jesus, the one who was crucified. That identification, who was crucified, brings out the greatness of God's compassion and love for us. As it is written in Scripture, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. How did he die? He was crucified. The disciples for a period of time were self-isolating. They were staying at home out of fear of what may happen. Till, full of that unknown, the disciples experienced all of that. But all of that unknown, uncertainty, fear, all of that was forever transformed into a certainty of God's compassion and love, mercy and grace by the risen Christ. These moments we are experiencing these days can be transformed in the same manner by the risen Christ. Those theologians, Charlie Daniels and Queen Elizabeth, both said, and accurately too, said, we need Easter. And they're spot on. We need Easter. For only the truth and reality of Jesus Christ, who was crucified, can bring the hope and assurance we need these days. This day is not like Easter's we have celebrated before. And perhaps this is a good thing. For this day, without all those accoutrements and flowers and all those other things going on before, possibly distracting us, with all of those things removed this day, we can be drawn deeper into the reality of the good news the Scripture speaks about concerning the Christ. The Christ suffering and dying and rising on the third day. Go looking for Jesus who was crucified. Look for Jesus who was crucified. And you'll find the Christ that death could not hold down, death could not defeat nor destroy. Go looking for Jesus who was crucified, and you will find the Christ who defeated death. And in him, you will find the hope you need, all the hope you need. Yes, in Christ, we have hope, hope to carry us through these days of uncertainty into the certainty of life with Christ forevermore. This morning, the stole I'm wearing was my grandfather's, Reverend Donald G. Lee. And I put it on purpose this morning to remind you visibly the Church of Jesus Christ has faced many difficulties through the years and eons. In my grandfather's lifetime, the Church stood strong through the Great Depression and World War II and many other things. And you can reach back in history and see that the church stood strong, so full of hope through many, many challenges. And the reason the church stands so strong and full of hope from the past to this day and into the future is the message has not changed. And this message will carry into tomorrow with joy and hope overflowing. Looking for Jesus who is crucified, you will find him as the Christ. And the reason he is the Christ is that message we proclaim on Easter and every day in our life. So I invite you to now join with me and proclaim that message. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. And amen.